Indie Media is DIY news. It is about people reporting their own news directly without the need for reporters, bypassing the corporate media.
There are 100 Indie Media or IMC websites worldwide providing grassroots reports of struggles, campaigns and protests.
There are so many people here who are saying no to the government today, and this is democracy in action.
Everybody's here. Everybody in the country seems to be here. They're just coming from all over the place. The banners are showing all the tiny, tiny little pockets of the country. Everybody has come down here.
The project started 3 years ago, covering the massive Seattle protests, which shut down the World Trade Organization summit.
Uncensored and unsponsored, IMC sites can be updated anywhere, anytime, by anyone.
The open to all nature of these sites means that you can publish your own reports about your own issues and at the same time connect to a global network of grassroots news.
What you're about to hear,
What you are about to hear are some highlights from these global websites and from our very own UK IMC Wire. For more information or to get the news direct from the streets, check out www.indiemedia.org.uk.
The world is waking outside my window. Bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Drags my senses into the sunlight, for there are things that I must do. Wish me luck now, I have to leave you. Bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. With my friends now, up to the city, we're gonna shake the gates of hell. And I will tell them, we will tell them. Bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. That our sunlight is not for franchise, and wish the bastards drop down dead. Next time you see me, I may be smiling. Ciao, bella, ciao, bella, ciao, ciao, ciao. I'll be in prison or on the TV.
Hello, you're listening to Indie Media Newswire Radio on Resonance 104.4. And today we've got lots of stories for you from around the UK and the globe, all coming, or most of them coming off the Indie Media Newswires. Romani's face eviction, another eviction in a social centre. Oh, lots and lots of things. But first we're going to play some music, and this is an old track. It's Magazine, Shot by Both Sides.
Battle side.
And our first story today is from today. Around 40 police, along with 30 bailiffs, smashed down the front door of the Grand Bank's occupied social centre in North London at about 5:30 this morning, evicting the building. A small number of people inside were searched, and police intelligence teams filmed and photographed people's notebooks and as much of the other paper-based material they could find. Some people have since been allowed briefly back inside to recover some of their possessions. Last week, we reported about a police surveillance and intimidation operation outside the social centre against a meeting for autonomous and self-organised spaces for the European Social Forum due to be held in London in October. The occupied social centre had proven to be one of the most successful squatted community projects for some time, providing a vibrant mix of workshops and skill share, from screen printing to radio training. It had played host to some world-renowned musicians and singers and provided a valuable meeting place for many campaigns. The recently announced series of six weekly themed evenings in preparation for the Beyond ESF event in October will go ahead. A new venue for the evenings will be announced soon. Ironically, the first of these evenings was held last Saturday on the subject of surveillance and control and included a discussion on police harassment. We were due to have an interview with one of the people who was evicted from Grand Banks this morning, but unfortunately I forgot to bring my mobile, so I don't have the number. So we may have an interview next week. And another track, and it's from a compilation album called Electric Gypsy Land. You're listening to Indie Media Newswire Show on Resonance 104.4.
Carolina Jambada. Carolina Jambada. Oh, Carolina Jambada.
Carolina Bala, hai vino qua, o Carolina Jambala, tu ești a mea. Sărutăm într-o parte, bagă limba în ureche, că mă știe multe fete. Treacă-te cu mine, că mă simt prea bine, poate să nu părăta, tu mi-ai dat în cap.
Carolina Jambala, tu ești că și-am agătat o brunetă, mamă, ce picioare avea, ce bine arăta. Când făcea pirueta, se vedea toate alea, că avea o fustă mini, îi se vedeau bikini. N-am mai rezistat și la ea m-am dat, am invitat-o acasă, i-am dat tot ce aveam pe masă. Mi-a mâncat frigiderul, mi-a luat și șifonierul, și n-am mai rezistat, și n-am mai rezistat, și n-am mai rezistat. Și la ea am strigat, fă șmecherito, pe jaladito. Vă șmecherito, jaladito, nesimțito. Și-am băgat un dormitor și vedea să o omor. Stipi să dezbrăca, pe mine se urca. Cu bucoare verticale și figuri paranormale. Urturi supranaturale, urturi supranaturale. În spate mă mușca, nu știam ce mai voia. Rău mă dispera, mă gândi la ușor. Și vine ca să mor.
Right, we're back. That was some Balkan gypsy Romani music. And to continue in that vein, Delaney Memorial Park, Romani's face eviction. This came in a few days ago onto the wire. Romanis have lived on the land here for 50 years, veteran activist Peter Ripley said at the dedication of a memorial park near Epping yesterday, 22nd, when an appeal was made to postpone the eviction of the last residents of the Payne's Lane Caravan Park. I was just 5 years old when we stopped on this land with wagons and horses, Ripley commented. We surely have the right to stop here today. Some 120 people, including Roma from the Czech Republic, Poland, Germany, along with travellers from all parts of England, attended the opening ceremony. Members of the UK Jewish and Hindu communities were also represented. Dedicating the ground to the memory of the Romani victims of the Holocaust and present-day racism, Pastor Harry Shepperton reminded those present of the death last year of 15-year-old Johnny Delaney in a racially motivated attack. This park is now sacred to the memory of young Johnny, said the pastor, and all those who have suffered racial discrimination from the Holocaust up until now. May God bless us and bring an end to this suffering. Ladislav Balaz, chair of the Trans-European Roma Federation, said he sought asylum in the UK to escape attacks by neo-Nazis in the Czech Republic. His close friend, Milan Lako, had been murdered by skinheads and was therefore appalled to learn that members of the neo-Nazi British National Party had now been elected to Epping Council. After a dedication prayer, the Polish-Romani Assembly led the meeting in the singing of the Romani national anthem, Gelem Gelem. Grattan Puxen of Teref, T-E-R-F, said a member of those present had agreed to act as human rights monitors on 23rd and 24th of August, when Epping Forest District Council would be sending officials to Payne's Lane for the purpose of evicting the last residents. The monitors would record on video the activities of the council employees and help prepare a report for the Centre for Housing Rights and Evictions. The Geneva-based CHRE would in turn forward such material to the UN Human Rights Commission, as it had recently done in the case of the eviction at Chelmsford earlier this year. We appeal to Epping Council, even at this late hour, said Puxen, to postpone this eviction until the issue of homelessness and proper provision under the Housing Act has been heard by a higher court. Puxen said that there was still the possibility of a judicial review hearing, as had taken place in similar cases. John Knapman, head of Epping Council, had stated that he was willing to consider establishment of a caravan park in Epping, and all that was now asked was a stay of execution of an outstanding injunction. He reminded the meeting that more than 2,000 Romani families in England currently owned land but were faced with eviction because local authorities were withholding planning permission. In his view, this amounted to ethnic cleansing, hiding behind a smokescreen of regulations. Through our Gypsy and Traveller Law Reform Coalition, we have called for a moderatum on evictions until new legislation is passed, Buxton said. It's time the government heeded this. The situation has become desperate. Harry Smith appealed to everyone present and all other supporters to return to Pines Lane today and Tuesday, which was yesterday and the day before, to be present with him and his family in their hour of need. We have lived here for 15 years, said Smith. I have nowhere to go, and even if I could find other land, which I can't, I would end up in prison, as it happened to Peter Robb, who obeyed the council and left there, only to be taken to court at Cloney Heath. Cliff Cadona, chair of the National Travellers Association Group, and Joe Jones, founder of the Canterbury Gypsy Support Group, as well as Susan Ward from Bucklington Fields, as well as Rysid Ecklington and Ever Caravan Parks, attended. Food was provided by the Whitstable and Herne Bay Gypsy Support Group, an exhibition covering the Auschwitz Gypsy Camp, Jasenovac and other concentration camps, and present-day ethnic cleansing in Kosovo and elsewhere was mounted. Pictures on the removal of Romani Holocaust were exhibited by Sinti artist Katrina Pollock. Media coverage was provided by the BBC, Channel 4, ITV and a number of freelance journalists. I must say I didn't hear anything about that until it came onto our wires. Now we've got a track from a band, or rather an ensemble, Romani Jag Ensemble. I've played some of their stuff before, and I'm not sure if I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. Romani Jag is not a band. It's an ensemble touring with a show that includes not just music and dance, but storytelling and a buffet. That's how it started. Every place Romani Jag goes to has some connection to gypsies in the past or present, such as particular fairs that used to be frequented by Sinti, that's past, or that it houses Eastern European Roma, present. For every place Bulma finds sedentary Sinti or Roma to join in the evening. One time, for instance, it was a group of children from Macedonia and Albania to depict the adventures of their short lives till present into pictures. Another time it's a symbol of Sinti kids from a trailer park somewhere, or indeed Roma from Iraq, as the case might be or has been. The whole goal is to show that Gaji civilian visitors / audience to the project, who are not meant to be merely spectators but dance, sing and eat with the assembled extended family as we like to see it, that here is a unique alliance of people with a thriving culture and a common language. Whoever turn up in local dialects as Romanis, with a thriving culture and common language that survived more than 2,000 years of persecution and often horrendous attempts to cultivate or sanitize or simply wipe out, and hardly a written word. Romani culture has been scorned of late for not really being an assembled culture at all, but is a myth various bands of vagrants have concocted. Here they can see for themselves that the 40-year-old immigrant from Karavir can not only speak with the 8-year-old from a caravan park in Venlo, but has songs and legends in common too. An insight into stigmatized and mystified culture that really says, hey, why does everyone hate us? We might have stolen a chicken or two over the years, but we're the only people who've never started a war.
Ki rati pe paia stradja,
stradja,
miri per nime nadiga,
nadiga,
oske tu man koto romka, iga jia tu pirva,
pirva,
shukatio
but I could not hold on to her very long. So I cut off my hair and I rode straight away for the wild unknown country where I could not go wrong. Of darkness and light, the biting light ran through the center of town. I hitched up my pony to a post on the right, went to the laundry to wash my clothes down. A man in the corner approached me for a match. I knew right away he was not ordinary. He said, are you looking for something easy to catch? Said, I got no money. He said, that ain't necessary. We set out that night for the cold in the north. I gave him my blanket, and he gave me his word. I said, where are we going? He said, we'll be back by the fourth. I said, that's the best news that I've ever heard. I was thinking about turquoise, I was thinking about gold, I was thinking about diamonds and the world's biggest necklace as we rode through the canyons, through the devilish cold. I was thinking about ISIS, actually I thought I was so reckless. Actually told me that one day we would meet up again, and things would be different the next time we were. If I only could hang on and just be her friend. I still can't remember all the best things she said. We came to the pyramids all embedded in ice. He said, there's a body I'm trying to find. If I carry it out, it'll bring a good price. 'Twas the thing that I knew what he had on his mind. The wind, it was a howling, and the snow was outrageous. We chopped through the night and we chopped through the dawn. I was hoping that it wasn't contagious, but I made up my mind that I had to go on. I broke into the tomb, but the casket was empty. There was no jewels, no nothing. I felt I'd been had when I saw my partner was just being friendly. When I took up his offer, I must have been mad. Inside, threw him down in the hole, and I put back the cover. I said a quick prayer, and I felt satisfied. Then I rode back to find Isis, just to tell her I love her. She was there in the meadow where the creek used to rise, blinded by sleep and in need of a bed. I came in from the east with the sun in my eyes. I cursed her one time, then I rode on ahead.
really special. She said, you look different. I said, well, I guess. She said, you've been gone. I said, that's only natural. She said, you're gonna stay. I said, if you want me to, yeah.
That was Bob Dylan with Isis from the album Desire. You can't say that we don't play an eclectic mix of music on this show. Back to the stories. This is from the 21st, 4 days ago, posted on Sheffield IMC. Nasser Gafour, a resident of Burngreave, Sheffield, was on a hunger strike for 6 weeks from the 8th of July to oppose his deportation to Iraq. He has sewn up his lips and was refusing medical attention. He has now removed the stitches from his mouth and stopped his hunger strike. He believes he will be killed if he is deported to Iraq. His father and brother were killed there, and his sister and mother are missing, presumed dead. There is more detailed information on the NCAD website, which is the National Coalition for Anti-Deportation Campaigns. Local and national politicians are offering no hope to Nasser. Local activists have organised a 24-hour rota to watch over Nasser while he was on hunger strike. Direct action in the form of road blockades resulted in coverage in the local media, and there was a demonstration from Burngreave into the centre of Sheffield on the 21st. There's a daily vigil every day on Ellesmere Green, 5 p.m. Demo on the 21st of August. A little bit of background. Nasser's family were wiped out in northern Iraq during the process of Arabization. Nasser says his father was killed and his mother and two sisters disappeared, presumed dead. Terrified, Nasser fled. Nasser's asylum claim has been refused. He was evicted from his NASS accommodation, his financial support cut, and has no right to work. He was destitute and homeless and subject to removal. Frightened by a situation where he could be sent back to Iraq any time, Nasser sewed his lips up and has been on hunger strike since the 8th of July. Doctors have said that Nasser could lose consciousness at any time. Nasser is refusing treatment. He is basically dying. He has said he'd rather die here than go back and be executed in Iraq or murdered. How you can help? Fax and write to the Minister of Immigration, Des Brown, requesting that Nasser be given official protection. You can use the model letter. I'm reading this off the website, so... if you look at the website, which is indymedia.org.uk, it's the top feature. You can fax Des Brown on 020-7273-2043. Or you can write to Des Brown, Minister of Immigration, Home Office, 50 Queen Anne's Gate, London. Please notify the campaign of any letters and faxes that are sent. And there's an email address on there. And you can also find out how more to help from the Sheffield Committee to Defend Asylum Seekers, care of Sheffield TUC, Talbot Street entrance, Sheffield S2 2T. And I think we're going to go to another track now. which is Malachi.
This is more Gypsy remix stuff.
Okay, it's more Gypsy remix stuff. Okay, back to some world news. The government of Georgia has ordered BP to halt work on a section of controversial 2.4 billion Caspian oil pipeline project. The Baku Cheyenne pipeline. BP had been on site in Borajormi, I don't know how you pronounce that, an area of outstanding natural beauty for a week and was already felling trees. The Georgian Environment Minister said BP failed to provide contractually required environmental assurance that the pipeline could withstand both landslides and terrorist attacks. The original contract agreed by former President Edward Shevardnadze effectively handed BP control over a 1,750-mile strip of land cutting through Georgia,
Azerbaijan.
Yep. Kazakhstan and into Turkey. A project which bears all the hallmarks of the modus operandi of oil companies. Encouraged by Bush and financed partly by free public money, the route of the 42-inch wide pipeline is becoming aggressively militarized following sabotage. Anyone speaking out faced intimidation and in some cases torture. In May, Turkish authorities picked up Ferhat Kaya, a human rights campaigner who has been at the forefront of pressing for proper compensation for those affected by the pipeline. He was considered a terrorist by the court and beaten by police during detention. Four senior pipeline experts who worked on the pipeline in Turkey revealed a catalogue of incompetence, cost-cutting and shoddy workmanship, which raises major questions about the safety of the pipeline. All four have successful careers, are over 20 years in pipeline construction, and have said this is the worst project they've ever worked on. For more info, see www.bakucehan.org.uk. That's bakucehan.org.uk. And back to this country. The longest continuous bus strike in the UK for over 30 years ended in victory. Drivers won nearly all their demands for more pay and better working conditions with no strings. Union organiser Martin Bayer said, why have the company conceded so much and so suddenly? Well, of course, it has to do because, much to their amazement, our strike held solid for three whole weeks with no one threatening to cross the picket lines and no prospect of the strike breaking as we posed to begin our fourth week on strike. It was also because they could no longer bear to lose so much money as the strike continued. Our estimate is 5 million losses so far. In a related story, a tribunal decided that four electricians who staged one of the country's longest-running industrial disputes were unfairly sacked for belonging to a trade union. The electricians had been protesting against electrical subcontractors, DAF, who hired unskilled workers on the cheap to carry out work on the 25 million Piccadilly Gardens development in Manchester. And the Permaculture Association of Britain will be celebrating its 21st birthday next month with a design course and convergence, and of course, a party. Permaculture is a design concept that tries to connect everything from growing food to urban planning to community development. The event takes place in Braziers Park, Oxfordshire. See www.permaculture.org.uk. And across the big pond. Ahead of the expected massive protests against the Republican National Congress in New York City later this week, the situation continues to hot up. United for Peace and Justice, organisers of many of the large anti-war and social justice protests of recent years, and the National Council of Arab Americans are both suing the city to be allowed to protest in Central Park amidst a large number of restrictions on various demonstrations planned. Excuse me. Meanwhile, in a stunning and somewhat cynical move, New York Mayor Bloomberg and tourism officials are offering well-behaved protesters baby blue-coloured badges saying peaceful political activists. That will give them discounts at restaurants and museums, while at the same time it has been announced that up to 56 activists from around the country are being placed under round-the-clock surveillance. As said, the protests are expected to be huge, and like many demonstrations over the last year or so in America, it's also expected that the authorities will use extreme levels of violence against those in the streets. Whatever happens, you can be sure Indie Media and other alternative media projects will be reporting the truth. A massive mobilization of media activists is underway, and extensive coverage will be available. For more, see nyc.indiemedia.org, and I know there's going to be a lot of radio streams coming out of New York in the next week or so for the Republican National Congress. And some more music. Okay, we go back to magazine. We'll be right back.
conspiracy. A silent force to revolutionize my
today is a little update on last week's Eva Jazovic's story. She's a British independent journalist who was arrested in Israel. This is from today. An Israeli court today ordered a British journalist with links to a pro-Palestinian group to leave the country, citing security concerns. Eva was refused entry into Israel on the 11th of August and has been detained since then at Israel's Ben Gurion International Airport. Her lawyer pledged to appeal today's expulsion order to the Supreme Court. Israeli authorities claim that Jazovic was an activist with the International Solidarity Movement, a Palestinian-led group that leads protests to the West Bank and Gaza. I think international means it's not led by any particular country. The 26-year-old freelance journalist writes for a left-wing monthly, Red Pepper, and has worked with the group in the past. ISM activists have sometimes disrupted military operations by placing themselves between soldiers and Palestinians. Israel has recently detained a number of its activists as they tried to enter the country. Israel has also killed quite a number or several ISM activists. One was shot in the head, a Briton who was shot in the head last year, and an American young woman was run over by a bulldozer. Back to the story. In her expulsion order today, Tel Aviv District Court Judge Dora Pilpel said that although Jazovic did not pose a direct threat to Israel's security, Palestinians could manipulate her naivety. Knowing that Eva has been in Iraq and Palestine and around the world, I don't think she's naive, but there you go. Israeli authorities have paid extra attention to the ISM since an April 2003 suicide bombing in Tel Aviv that killed three people. The attackers had briefly visited ISM activists in Gaza before the attack, although the group denied any involvement in the bombing. In an earlier decision, the district court last week said that Jazovic could enter Israel but not travel to the West Bank. The Supreme Court ordered the lower court to reconsider its decision. Eva's lawyer called the decision a total blow to the freedom of speech and the freedom of the press. The court granted a 48-hour injunction on the expulsion, allowing Berda to appeal the expulsion of the Supreme Court. And we're almost ready to go into our outro, which is a bit about the Iraq War, and it's more of Skidmark Bob, but it's well cut down from his original half-hour piece. And it's about the casualties that the Americans are taking and the Iraqis are taking. And it's got one of my favourite ever comedians, just a little bit of Bill Hicks in it. And we'll see you next week. And have a good week and take care. Bye.
We're going to smoke them out.
We like war. We're a warlike people. We like war because we're good at it. And you know why we're good at it? Because we get a lot of practice. This country's only 200 years old, and already we've had 10 major wars. We average a major war every 20 years in this country, so we're good at it.
Right now, we have over 9,000 U.S. troops have been medically evacuated out of the theater due to all kinds of serious health problems. These include cardiology, gastrointestinal, pulmonary, general surgery, gynecological, urological, dental, neurological. The other thing that I just literally heard of just not even an hour ago, I have over 40% of an entire company that's down. They are currently in Iraq. They're a National Guard company, and they're sick. 40% of the entire company is down. And we're seeing all of the same symptoms. Again, you probably heard already the thousands that are sick. And we've had a lot that have already died from the respiratory complications that are over there. And it continues to grow. I also understand that leishmaniasis, which is a horrible disease where you have basically a bug, a thing inside your body just living and growing, is continuing to grow over there. And at the same time, while we're looking at 9,000 medically evacuated out, congressional investigations absolutely have verified that U.S. troops that have returned to the United States that were sent to Fort Stewart in Georgia, Fort Bragg in North Carolina, Fort Knox, Kentucky, have put into facilities on medical hold, not fit for pigs to live in, and denied the medical care that they earned as soldiers and sailors, airmen, Coast Guard of our nation. And that doesn't even mention the horrible medical effects that we have seen firsthand and talked to the physicians of the Iraqis and the noncombatants within that whole region. The other thing that we have, I've had scientific teams for both U.S. congressional staff and other world-class scientific teams have gone in and came back directly firsthand with the scientific measurement and the video showing that uranium munitions are literally in Baghdad, literally all over the place in Baghdad, on video showing U.S. military officers absolutely acknowledging that not only are not protecting their own soldiers, but they absolutely did not warn any of the non-combatants or the Iraqi residents in these areas, and they're not making any arrangements for medical care. The photographic video evidence firsthand that I have in my possession from the scientific congressional staff shows the contamination there, shows the radiological measurements at thousands of times permissible levels, and shows the people just walking all over there with no precautions taken. So we're looking at over 2,000 tons of uranium in use in Iraq. That's the amount of solid uranium waste that we are spread all over residential, agricultural, industrial, medical, and even absolutely confirmed destruction of water treatment facilities with uranium munitions.
We've not come all this way through tragedy and trial and war only to falter.
It's also important for the people of Iraq to know that in a democracy, everything is not perfect.
And it made us sick to our stomachs.
Graphic photographs showing the torture and sexual abuse of Iraqi prisoners in a U.S.-run prison outside Baghdad emerged yesterday from a military inquiry which has left six soldiers facing a possible court-martial and a general under investigation.
Do I have a responsibility in this? Without question. But there's a lot of other people that have at least an equal responsibility or more.
I was sorry for the humiliation suffered by the Iraqi prisoners and the humiliation suffered by their families.
Across the Arab world, news of the abuse and humiliation of the Iraqi prisoners was met with disgust. In Cairo, why are we letting them do this? This man shouts. Who is responsible?
You said you're going in for democracy. It's anything but democracy. There's truly no excuse for them to be in Iraq right now.
In Jerusalem,
these pictures will build up hate, will build up revenge.
And in Amman,
it is considered by the Jordanian public opinion as more or less as a war crime.
And it's not a pretty picture.
The number of disturbing photos coming out of Abu Ghraib continues to multiply. On the streets of Baghdad, people are increasingly saying the U.S. occupation is the same as Saddam Hussein's brutal regime.
A car bomb detonated in Najaf today at the U.S. headquarters, killing five Iraqi civilians and one U.S. soldier. Another car bomb exploded in Baghdad, killing two U.S. soldiers late Wednesday night.
Series of simultaneous bombings in Baghdad.
It's the deadliest attack on U.S. troops in Iraq since the beginning of the war. Look at your women. Look at your men. What have they always done before? Look at the hate we're breeding. Look at the fear we're feeding. Look at the lives we're leading. Way we've always done before.
And it's not a pretty picture.
It is the dawn of the 21st century. Globally, the oppressors are waging a war against the oppressed. The first casualty of war is truth, and the oppressors have big guns, money, power, and a stranglehold on the media. But we can fight back. We have our own weapons, vision, creativity, and indie media. Indie media was born in the clouds of tear gas that filled the streets of Seattle in 1999. It has since grown to a network of over 120 media centres worldwide. Indie media's stories come out of the trenches, from the mouths of the frontline fighters. They come from those who resist and are rising up. They come from you.
We have the fire, we have the cry.
Spirit shouldn't come from money.
Find out what's really going on. Break through the corporate veil. Tell your story, yourself, through indie media. On the web, with video, radio or print. Choose your weapon and act. Empower yourself and others. Fight for truth.
Eventually the truth, even though it's beaten down, covered up, will rise to the top.
Indie media. Because corporate media is always out of focus.
The power comes from the people, from you and I, from the bottom up.
But we're going to smoke them out.
We like war. We're a warlike people. We like war because we're good at it. You know why we're good at it? Because we get a lot of practice. This country's only 200 years old, and already we've had 10 major wars. We average a major war.